welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. And this is the Apostle Paul just exhorting the church at Ephesus about a battle that they have and a battle that they're in. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So this is a powerful admonition. It's really quite a wake-up call to the church at Ephesus, to us, the church today. Just the fact that we're in a battle. And granted, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling. There is resistance that we experience. The Bible says this, but what about this? Or suggestions and thoughts and, you know, those powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness, man, they are coming from a dark place. The Bible describes Satan as the accuser of the brethren. He accuses the brethren before God night and day and day and night. There's an accusing spirit in that stuff. There is strife, there's hatred, there's destruction in the influences here. And so it's invisible. We can't see it with our eyes. And yet it's a real battle. And we have real armor that we also can't see with our eyes. But it's there for this battle. And I am so glad that the Bible gives us such clear instruction regarding, first of all, just acknowledging that this conflict exists and what to do about it. You know, you got the Apostle Paul certainly acknowledging it here. We'll see later the Apostle Peter, Apostle James. They're all talking about this in the same battle and whatnot. But it's important to understand here, too, as we're looking at this battle, that you see that everything centers around that little word up there in verse 10, wiles. It's all about the wiles. There's a lot of drama here. You got powers and principalities, rulers and spiritual hosts, you got all this stuff. You got the armor and all the stuff that we'll look at that you're going to put on. You got the wrestling. But everything is all about the wiles. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That. Why? You can stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles is odos. It means crafty scheming with the intent to deceive. Cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. In other words, when you're wrestling against powers and principalities, you're not wrestling against them because, you know, they're bad guys and that's what they do, and so I got to wrestle against them. No. You're wrestling against them because they are on assignment, and they are carrying out orders based on wiles. Yeah, you're wrestling against powers and principalities, but you're standing against a wile, a scheme. There is something when you find in this wrestling match, Many times it can be a narrative that comes over and over and over, a thought that has some kind of a destructive agenda to it. It's important to understand that when we look at this battle, we see the bigger picture. Satan's coming at us with a wile. So I'm resisting a specific scheme. A lot of times, especially in this day, the political atmosphere, you'll hear the phrase a lot of times about people pushing narratives, okay? Creating a narrative that this person is this way or their character is that way, and then finding the evidence to support a narrative and pushing a narrative. A lot of times when you're dealing with this stuff, you'll find you're dealing with narratives. Narratives are getting pushed on you, and you're having to push back at narratives. And many times those narratives have to do with trying to take you out in some way. It could be a narrative about your body, about a relationship, your finances. Satan comes, those schemes are around stealing, killing, and destroying something. Your peace, your joy. There's something that the enemy is coming after. And a big part of even engaging in any kind of spiritual battle is recognizing it and understanding how to look for it, to be aware of it and what it looks like, right? It's not, we know, going to be some big, ugly, hairy thing with yellow eyes, the way it's depicted in the theaters. It's going to be a subtle thought about your friend, your spouse, your body, you, your identity. Yeah, I know the Bible says this, but you know you, and I know you, and you're really, that's really who you are. I'm just saying. This is what we're wrestling against. And there's just something about, and you can hear a preacher preach about this. I'm in here, I've sat there almost as long as I've been up here, and I hear this stuff. But there's something about connecting my stuff with this. Really? I gotta, because it's so real, it's so personal. But no. That stuff you're wrestling against is the stuff that we were warned about. It's connected to a wile of the devil. It's a scheme. And this is important that we realize we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If we take a flesh and blood approach, we will get worn out. An evil spirit is evil, but it's not mortal. And it can just sit there and go on repeat for 30 years to break you down. So at some point, you got to realize, I'm going to have to do this God's way, or I'm going to get worn out, or I'm just going to get mentally broken down. You got to fight this battle with his armor, with his weaponry. And as we look at it, we see that there's kind of a divine strategy that God gives us in fighting this kind of battle. James puts it this way. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Passion says, so then surrender to God, stand up to the devil, and resist him, and he will turn and run away. We see that the divine strategy, before we ever engage in even the heavy wrestling against things like that, there's a first things first, there's a submitting ourselves to God. That prepares us for resisting the devil. So there's a preparation time, and then there's an engaging time. And this is what we're going to be looking at. This is just going to be a two-part series on spiritual warfare. And this morning, we're going to look at what we're calling preparing for battle. All right? We know that we don't just run out, but we prepare for battle. There's some things that we do to get ourselves ready to fight. If you know you got a fight coming, get ready for it. Prepare. If there is something coming at you, we have the ability to submit to God, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, and get ready to be able to go out and fight. And so this morning, it's going to be all about the prep for battle. Because like we said, you can't fight a spiritual battle with carnal, natural weapons. In other words, I'm not going to be standing up to the devil in the power of my intellect or even my knowledge of the Word of God. That's not good enough. You could have all kind of knowledge and do all kind of things, and you can even have faith to move mountains, it's still not good enough to connect with spiritual stuff. You're getting your, preparing for battle is going to get your heart in a place to where you're in the Spirit. To where, then when you go, you're going to go in a completely different place. So, again, next week, it's going to be resisting the devil. It's going to be full-on engagement. But we're going to be engaging from a place of preparation. And so, how do we prepare for the battle? It starts by preparing our heart. And we'll kind of revisit that scripture we just looked at, a little step a little bit back a bit further. James says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, we need to go into that battle with some humility, and we need to go into that battle with the grace of God. We know that, you know, man's wrath doesn't work the righteous purpose of God. I'm not going to get so mad that Satan's going to flee from me. He loves it when I get mad. He plays on that, provokes, wigwags you. It's when you don't get mad, when you're supposed to get mad, that makes him nervous. But it starts with humbling yourself under his mighty hand. It starts with saying, ah, I got to go to God. My goodness, what am I going to do? I got to go to God. There's another, we're going to look at some powerful passages. Now you see, you humble yourself and then you resist the devil. Here's another powerful passage about resisting the devil, but we're going to look at the verses just before the part where it says resist the devil. Again, this is preparation time. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. This gets a little more explicit in the humbling part, too. One of the ways we humble ourselves is casting our cares. It's humbling to cast our cares in the Lord. And we'll look at, you know, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 12 next week. That's where he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about. Before he says that, talks about the devil stuff, is he says, you humble yourself. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Casting your cares upon him. Preparing our heart in this way is important for a lot of different reasons. But one of the reasons is, many times when you just take this time to just prepare your heart, God will show you the strategy. You know, Satan has wiles, he has strategies, but man, God, our God, to whom all things are naked and open, he knows exactly. He knows how to catch the wise in their craftiness. He's brilliant, a brilliant fighter, warrior, and he knows how to help us. You know, you think of just some basic Bible stories. You think of David and Goliath. David did just run out at Goliath right away. He tried on Saul's armor. And he had to humble himself and say, this doesn't fit. And then what did he do? He went and he got 5 smooth stones. And then he went to face Goliath. But he found out, before he ever went to Goliath, he didn't go to Goliath in some clunky armor because that would have made sense, because that would have given him the best odds. No. He had to humble himself and find out kind of the wisdom, the plan of God. Another story to think of, too, with David, when the Bible says he came to Ziklag. That's where his family was, and everybody was there. And when him and his army got back there, the city was burned. And their wives and their children were just gone. And the scripture says that David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. And, you know, your natural inclination would be, just go after him. Hurry up, go, go, go. Respond in the anger, in the fear, in the... But he didn't do that. This guy who was a man after God's own heart did something first. It says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Had the priest get the ephod, and then the Bible says he inquired of the Lord. And he said, Lord, should we pursue this army? And the Lord said, yes, pursue them and you will recover everything. And then he did what the Lord said. He pursued him and they recovered everything. What is that? That's humbling yourself. It's taking a little time. It's not emotionally responding. You got to realize that when you're in this kind of fight, it's a fight of faith. It's not a fight of feelings. The enemy doesn't care how you feel. He cares what you believe. That's what matters. In fact, when he attacks and roars and makes you feel lesser than, and makes you feel like you're a lowlife, and you say, no, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, even though there's nothing in you that feels like a new creation in Christ Jesus, at that moment where there's conflict between your feelings and your faith is when he's most concerned about you. Because eventually, when you continue in that word, the reality is going to spring up and that truth of it's going to make you free. It's going to get strong in you and it's going to be another area he can't fool you. There's a wrestling that's going on there. But man, there is a point where you're going to say, okay, I'm humbling myself under your mighty hand, even though I'm not feeling it. Again, David was greatly distressed because they were talking to stoning him, killing him. Yeah. And then what does he do? He doesn't play politician. He goes before the Lord. He said, okay, Lord, what do we do next here? You know, they ended up doing what they would have had a natural inclination to do anyway in going after him, but they were doing it from a word of the Lord. They were doing it from a place of humbling their heart. They were going from a place of knowing, not guessing. There's a sweet humbling of ourselves. King Jehoshaphat, remember that story where he's just outnumbered. These armies are bearing down on him. And there's just no way in the natural they can win the battle. And King Jehoshaphat says, you know, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And, of course, the Lord says, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. And he instructs Jehoshaphat to send out the praisers and defeats this huge army. Sometimes we need to stop and take time because God has a plan, and he just wants us to take that time and acknowledge him, to not respond from a place of anger or hurt or bitterness. And I know this is faith, but I'll tell you what, this is where you're preparing your heart for the battle. You're preparing for a spirit-on-spirit conflict. And when you get your heart right, you're going to get ready to go in the spirit, and things are going to push back. If you try to go into that with anger and bitterness, no. He's going to, that's where you go, I tried resisting, he's not going. Yeah, I know, I'm right there with you. I know very much what that's like. And then I got to go back to this place and put first things first and get my heart right and make sure that I'm resisting from that right place. I love the invitation we have here too, seeing that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I love that. One of the reasons Jesus in all points became just like us, so he could experience that Ephesians 6 wrestling match too. You know, we think, oh yeah, he was tempted in all points. Yeah, he was, but he experienced the wrestling match. He experienced the powers and the principalities coming at him. He experienced what it was like to take authority over those opposing voices and roars of the enemy. He's experienced with this conflict that we're going through. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh so that he could take authority and stay true to the Father. So when we're experiencing that battle and we know what we'd like to do and say, we got to realize we have a great high priest. So when I'm coming to him and I'm humbling myself under him, I realize he gets this. He gets this battle. He gets the struggle. He gets the wrestling match. He's been on that mat before. He won every time. Praise God. Says, yep, without sin. Pinned Satan to the mat every time. But he's familiar with wrestling. And he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, we're just preparing for battle this morning. We're just coming on purpose. I know what I'm about to do, But I can't do this in my own power. I'm just coming to humble myself under you, your mighty hand, Heavenly Father. You know, a lot of times, one of the biggest questions that I'll get asked, just as a pastor, I guess, about this stuff, is how can you tell whether it's the devil or just your flesh? How do you know? I mean, a lot of times, it just registers the same way as a thought in your head that you know is wrong and you know is bad. But, you know, the flesh could be dealing or the devil could be dealing. You know, it could. You don't always know in the moment where it's coming from. And this preparation time, sometimes, many times, is a powerful way to vet that. There have been times I've come here before the throne of grace to cast cares, to lift things up, and the Lord will just show me some things in this place. Ed, you just got to forgive that. You just got to let that go, even as. I know it's ugly. I know it's bad, but you know what to do, and I'll do that, and I'll forgive. And the same Holy Spirit, you know, I said, that can grieve when we get it wrong, man, the same Holy Spirit will rejoice when we get it right. And in that moment, I just came before the throne of grace, and I'm free, and it's gone, and it's done. And there's nothing to resist. There was just, you know, something that I needed to forgive and deal with. And so sometimes you're going to, in the preparation time, realize and work things out. You'll resolve things before you ever even need to get into the demonic resisting side of it. And that is so nice. You know, it's like you've heard, because we put to death the deeds of the body and we cast out off the influence of the devil. I can't cast out my flesh and I can't put to death Satan, right? Now, effectively, I'm resisting either way, and I don't always have to precisely know everything in the moment either. But what I'm saying is, at this point here, I can simply do what he's showing me to do, and I've done that, and I've experienced victory, and it's like, there's nothing. The pressure's gone. There's nothing left to resist. It's just peace. There's joy. Praise God. And I'll just go out of the throne of grace rejoicing. Praise God. I'm, you know, it's resolved. So sometimes you're going to find resolution right here at the throne of grace. So the other thing that I just want to point out here is, as it relates to getting our hearts right, is that though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is really important. Again, we're just reiterating kind of what we saw there in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We got to realize that as we're getting our heart right, part of getting our heart right is just making sure that, okay, Lord, I'm going to resist, but I'm not going to resist according to the flesh. What is warring according to the flesh? That's when we revert to natural stuff, human anger and hatred or vengeance or vindictiveness or gossip and different things like that to try to get back, to get even, to retaliate in some kind of a natural human way. God's ways are not that way, and those ways will not connect in the Spirit. You might be able to, you know, manipulate and influence some people in some directions, but you're not going to get that devil off your mind. You're going to have to go through a different door if you want to be free. And this is a reminder to us that these weapons are powerful, but they're mighty in God. And getting our heart right and preparing our heart, it's like, okay, I'm about to resist. But when I resist, there's going to be a power of the Spirit that I'm going to be resisting from. I'm not going to be resisting from a place of bitterness or anger or anything according to the flesh. I'm going to be resisting according to the power of the Spirit, because those weapons are powerful. Those weapons can make contact in the spirit realm. You know? Yeah, so praise God. What are we talking? Just getting our heart right in that sense. And then the other aspect is simply what we're calling putting on the armor. Now, as we look at the armor of God, we can see Paul goes on to say, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, there's six pieces of armor, And the first three we're going to look at this week in the sense of a preparatory function of this armor. The other three pieces we look at next week are going to be engaging as we look at the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We're going to see those in an engaging light. And again, this is not like, you know, you could take any one of those pieces of armor and do a 10-week series on the power and the intricacies of all that. This is not meant to be exhaustive. This is meant to take the armor as it relates to spiritual warfare and as we're fighting that good fight of faith and preparing and engaging. But I want to, for this two-part series, to take these three pieces and see them in the light of preparation, to see how these pieces specifically of the armor are part of preparing our heart before we ever engage. So first of all, it says, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. So I'll kind of Greek out these words as we get them here. That word truth is aletheia, the content at which something is true, and thus in accordance with what actually happened. Truth. She told him the whole truth. There's a fullness of truth. There's a pouring out. There's a candid heart. When we're talking about casting your cares on the Lord, all right, you're talking about truth. There is a humbling ourselves as it relates to preparing. But there is the truth of God's word, which we know is the sword of the Spirit. Faith, sword of the shield of faith is based on the truth. But there is also a truth of the Word of God that is our accountability to the Word of God. This truth isn't just talking about scriptures. This is talking also about a girding your waist with truth. It is talking about a transparency, being candid, being open to God about truth, about being, you know, because a lot of times, you know, the way it works with people and each other, we kind of say what we want to say and we can hold our hand and different things like that. With God, all the cards are out. It's truth. There's a transparency. When we hide things, then we are making ourselves vulnerable. There is an intentionality that I'm coming clean with truth. The scripture puts it this way in Romans. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This is a clearing. This belt of truth is also coming face to face with stuff. You know, we're getting ready to head into the winter season, believe it or not. It's going to get cold. This thing called snow is going to come back again. When it happens, we turn on our furnaces. Now, if I turn on my furnace and I crank it up, but then, because it's cold out there, see, it's one of those 20 below days, but then I go and open up all the windows, I don't care how good your furnace is. If you got windows open, you're still going to get cold. I'm talking about preparation time to fight the devil. We just got to talk. We got to be real about this. We don't. If we sow to the flesh, we have the flesh reap corruption. So sometimes things are coming back, and it's like, why do I keep dealing with this? Why do I keep dealing with this? Yeah, it could be the persistence of an enemy, but there could also be a persistence in sowing. You know, there's things that we can engage in. There's things that we could be watching that's just reaping this fear over and over again. Lord, I resist it. I resist it. You might need to close a window. There might be some things you're watching, you're engaging in, that you're giving yourself a pass, and that's a, but you do reap. There is consequences, not your salvation, but as it relates to being serious about spiritual warfare, yeah. There's truth time that we have with the Lord that we got to be honest. And yeah, maybe it's something that's eaten our lunch for years and we're struggling to get victory over, but we're acknowledging it and saying, God, help. I need help in this area. You know, the wisdom that's from above, it's without partiality and it's without hypocrisy. In other words, we don't give my stuff a pass and then get all critical on other person's back. That'll confuse your heart. when it comes to resisting the devil. And there won't be authority there. There won't be confidence there. So, preparation time. We're getting our heart clear. You know, the Apostle Paul was having to deal with some stuff at the Corinthian church. They didn't have some stuff right. They got it right. He said, I'm sorry that I wrote that letter to make you sad, but I'm glad I did it because that godly sorrow led to repentance. And he said, man, what clearing of yourselves, what vehement desire, what revenge, what, oh, you know, it cleared them out. You know, when you're clear like that and you know you've repented, it's not, you don't even have to have the total victory. All you know, you've been honest and you've dealt with it before God. The enemy doesn't have it to work with in the sense that I'm being clear and honest before God with that thing. I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm making no provision for the flesh. Lord, what does that look like to make no provision for the flesh? And sometimes you'll just experience it. I've related this before too, and I've had times when I've been trying to work out. I'd start working out, and within 3 weeks, my knees sore, and I have to stop working out. And I'm so frustrated. And then one time when I was just stretching, the Lord showed me how I was hyperextending my knee. It was after I worked out, so my blood's running and I can't feel anything. You know, I'm just all jacked up in adrenaline. But I was hyperextending my knee. And all of a sudden it was like, Ed, look. It's like the Spirit arrested me and said, oh yeah, I'm doing that. You know, and so now then I'm just a little more aware, you know, and it's amazing. I don't get injured anymore when I do that. But sometimes there's things that we just gotta be honest about too. You know, it's not just good guy, bad guy. I'm the good guy, they're the bad guy. We're going to prepare our heart to resist the bad guy. But we're going to get some things clear in our heart to where we have our conscience clear, to where we can resist with a joy and a peace and a knowing. That's part of it. That's a belt of truth. Not only that, but we also have the breastplate of righteousness. Now, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. He knows all things. Praise God for that. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is that a big deal? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's important when it comes to resisting the devil. You can't resist the devil on top of a guilty conscience. You can technically, theologically do it, but this is where, why isn't this working? We need to get our conscience clear. Putting on that breastplate of righteousness is knowing where my righteousness comes from. My righteousness is a gift. The Apostle Paul said, how much more shall those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? That breastplate that you're wearing, it's a gift. It's an identifying with His righteousness. I'm a new creation created in righteousness. That is a gift of righteousness. That is a blood-bought, blood-paid-for gift that's protecting my heart. And when I come into that throne of grace, and if my conscience is bothering me, before I go and resist, I need to deal with some conscience stuff. I need to go before and say, Lord, I said it. I did it. He was wrong. I thank You that You're faithful and just. We were singing about that this morning. Faithful You are. Faithful, faithful, faithful. My confidence isn't in a feeling of forgiveness. My confidence is in the fact that He's faithful to His cross. He's faithful to His own work. And so I come into that throne of grace and I receive forgiveness and cleansing. And no yeah, buts, and if that would have, no, I did it, I said it, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I receive Your forgiveness. All right? Yes, there may be people components and other things that are later, but I'm just taking responsibility for my part. I'm not conditioning it at all. I'm saying, yes, You've given me everything I need that pertains to life and godliness. I know I've got what I need to be able to overcome this. I just receive that. And well, there's something clean about that. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I receive Your forgiveness. I receive it. What happens then? Praise God. There's a cleansing of my conscience. And that's when you, by faith, begin to praise God. And by faith, begin to thank God. Thank You, Lord. I know I may still have feelings of yuck. But I know that by faith, You're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. And I receive the the forgiveness, and I receive the cleansing, both things, from all unrighteousness. I receive the cleansing of my conscience from that thing so that I can get back up and serve the living God. Do what I need to do. What am I doing? I'm just preparing my heart for battle. And then finally, you've got the gospel shoes. The shoes of peace. No, I've seen the gospel shoes of peace for years, and I know what it is, and I know what it means as far as, you know, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And there's absolutely that application. We're fighting, we're battling, and like I said, this is not meant to be exhaustive. We're going to intentionally see some things in a certain light this morning. But the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace represents something. The gospel, what is the gospel of peace? It's the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to just see, I got a little blip on this thing about good news. All right. The expression gospel or good news must be rendered as a phrase. For example, news that makes one happy, information that causes one joy, words that bring smiles, or a message that causes the heart to be sweet. It's a gospel. It's good news. If you're going to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, there's going to be some powerful preparation. Let's take a look. This goes to conscience. The good news is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. We got to see the connection with the love of God as it relates to the good news. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Praise God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. I'm going to connect some dots here this morning between a preparatory heart work of the love of God and those gospel shoes. We remember the story when Jesus, he was heading through Samaria, and there were a couple disciples that were going to go to prepare the way. They just got flat out rejected. They were so hurt, they were so mad, and they went back to Jesus and they said, Lord, do you want us to do like Elijah did and call down fire and burn them up? That was their response. They were so mad. And Jesus said, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They didn't have their gospel shoes on. They were offended and mad, and Jesus had to put their gospel shoes back on them. If you're going to wear your gospel shoes, you're going to walk in love. There's going to be a remembrance of that commandment. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Well, first of all, if our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? If you resist the devil, he's going to go, why? You keep his commandments. What does that mean? You've believed on him, your trust is in him, and you're loving one another as he gave us commandment. There's a heart check here too. You know there's no fear in love? Love is completely secure. And I love the picture of the gospel on the feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But we also see another picture too, where Paul says, you are going to be rooted and grounded in love, that you may know and be filled with all the fullness of God. There is a rooting and a grounding. Your feet are kind of have a grounding effect too. You know, depending on what's on the soles of your feet, it can have a grounding effect. The love of God, remembering you're not here to destroy men's lives, but you're here to save them. Because sometimes when you're fighting that fight and you're wanting to resist, you've got people in your mind that you'd like to call down fire. And when you're hurt, when you're offended, like I say, like those disciples, life all of a sudden becomes very uncomplicated and simple. There's good guys and there's bad guys. And we got to kill the bad guys with fire. But God says, nope, you're going to love. I gave you a new commandment to love one another, to keep that commandment of love. This is a place where I'm preparing my heart and saying, am I keeping that? There's a beautiful song out, and I meant to do it, but Phil Wickham has a song called The Jesus Way. I choose the Jesus way. I choose to love. I choose to forgive. I choose the Jesus way. What is the Jesus way? Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You just love those who love you. What do you do more than they? You know, nothing. You just greet your brother only. You'd be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You come in to prepare your heart. Say, my heart's going to be, let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why? Because if there's evil speaking, if there's resentment, it causes the Spirit to grieve. It's hard to resist in the power of the Spirit when the Spirit's grieving in you already about stuff. You're clearing yourself. Clearing. This is preparing for battle. All of a sudden, it's like, I don't want to forgive. Look, I'm dealing with some stuff. All of a sudden, some of these truths take on a whole other light. They become a means to an end of getting your heart right to do what you know you need to do. And sometimes we go, yeah, okay, come on. Let's get with the program. This is what I got to do. I got to prepare my heart. I got to forgive. And this is, again, not about a feeling of forgiveness. This is just about a simple obeying God. Say, okay, Father, I want my heart right, clear. You said, have no complaints against another. Check in my heart, no complaints, Lord. I forgive even as you have forgiven me. What are you doing? You're getting confidence toward God. And you're going into that battle knowing you've got aught against no one. You're going into that battle with no bitterness. Boy, Satan just has nothing to play. Do you understand? Yeah, you may not have overcome that thing, but you intentionally acknowledged it, repented, asked God for help to close windows, to not make provision for the flesh, to deal with that. To be honest and to be clear about your own stuff, where you've sinned, where you've missed it, and said, receive forgiveness and cleansing. No guilt, no shame, no bitterness in your heart. Your feet are shod with the love of God. You're not calling fire down on anybody. Man, you get your heart there, and you're ready. You are ready to walk in the power of God. You are ready to experience something that's of substance. Now, if you guys watch The Lord of the Rings, it's that last Return of the King. We're going to be doing that one in February. But there's a powerful scene in there where they call to inquire of these spirit beings that are unredeemed. And there's basically giving them a chance at redemption. And, of course, they just see these men. I mean, these kind of ghoulish spirit beings. And you see these natural men. And, well, there's no match. The spirit versus the flesh. The spirit's just going to conquer and destroy it. And, you know, Aragorn, who's the king of Gondor, kind of undercover, you know, he says, I command your allegiance. And he said, oh, you know, this ugly-looking creature says, only the king of Gondor can command our allegiance. He raises up his sword to strike down Aragorn. Aragorn raises up his sword, and all of a sudden, the natural and the spirit realm, tink! And this creature's going, what? What happened? You know, I'm just supposed to run over you. You know, that line was broken. And Aragorn says, no, it's been remade. It's been reformed. There's somebody who's spoiled powers and principalities. He's made a show of them and triumphed over them in it. And when you speak words, it hits the spirit realm. The way that bitterness and anger and all that's playing games that could work in church and keep up appearances, but it doesn't work in real spiritual life when it comes to resisting the devil. And so this is why the preparation stuff is so important. This is what we're going to get into. The really, you know, fun, good stuff next week. But we got to lay this groundwork. Because if you just start here, your heart isn't always in the right place. We got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that you've given us everything we need for this battle. That we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. But that you've given us, equipped us, we've got exceedingly great and precious promises that can prepare us for this battle. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given me the full armor of God, that I can stand against the wiles of the devil, against every scheme. There is nothing I have to fear. Thank you for the throne of grace. I don't have to be perfect. I've got a God who loves me, who forgives me, who strengthens me, who works with me. You are so good. I don't have to pretend. I can be transparent and let you prepare my heart by your Spirit to resist according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, like we're saying, even that word this morning, these are the days. We're not just going to be re-preaching the same old stuff. Stuff's happening now. There's traction in the Spirit. Things are changing. There's a Spirit-to-Spirit connection of things that are going on. So praise God. Be encouraged. Amazing things are going to be happening in your heart, calling you into some things, into some areas and realms. You know, you might think, oh, he's asking me to cut off this thing in my life. I just want to be playing with it. No, he's calling you to shut a window, to keep the cold air out, to prepare your heart to do what he wants you to do. See that big picture.